English, everybody. I apologize in advance. I'm a little loose in my voice, so it just makes it all that more exciting. Awesome. Today's Rosh Chodesh, obviously, as you guys know, it's a time of renewal, a time of excitement, and we're also beginning the main part of this month. So I was schmoozing with some guys in my chabura yesterday, and we're discussing what are the main things that cause a guy to be successful in their year. So awesome answers were thrown out. Consistency, working hard, anything you could think of was thrown out, and they're all true. But last night I was thinking about what to share with the guys, and I realized I think there's a prerequisite to every single aspect of success in the Shana Aleph and the Shana Bet. And what I care more about is life. To be successful in life is a prerequisite. And I'll tell you when I learned this lesson. I was traveling through an airport one time. It used to be we would travel. I was in an airport, and I see a guy, and he's a successful guy. You see, super successful guy. I thought everyone's walking past him, they're kind of looking at him. They're seeing, like, right, the way he dresses, the way he holds himself, he's a successful guy. I want everyone to pause and think honestly for a second. When I told you that he was a successful guy, what were you thinking? Were you thinking he was wealthy? Honestly, were you thinking he was wealthy? I heard this one time in a shiur, and I was thinking, what wealthy, famous person was it? Why couldn't it have been a great dad? Is being a great dad not being successful? I was walking in the airport, I saw a great dad. He was dressed nicely, excited to play with his kids. Why couldn't it have been a Balmidos? Someone bought a water bottle in the airport, and he said thank you to the person behind. We have this westernized idea of what is success means wealth. And I believe in life this holds us back. If you're going to be good at anything in Ruchnius, you must understand, what does it mean to be successful in Ruchnius? What does it mean to be successful? Does that mean I have to be rich? Do I have to be famous? Success is not based off what the world says, but it's based off what we know is true. Good midos, Baal Chesed, a guy who sits and learns hard. That's what success is all about. I think there's two things in order for make someone successful. Number one is he needs to know what is success, like we're mentioning. But number two is what I'm much more focused on for today. And that is to believe that you can be successful. Believe that you can be great. So the idea is now that we change a little bit of our thought of what success means, we can believe that we can be great. We might not all be rich. Maybe some will, some won't. Don't forget to donate back to the yeshiva. But you can be successful in your own way. And something that maybe makes me more excited about anything is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu believes you're successful. He believes. I like to say that the day you're born, and we get a reminder every year on your birthday, is that's the day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I can't live without you anymore. That's the day that I need you to be successful in this world. That's the day that you're born. There's a story about the Lubavitcher Rebbe. A mother came one time with his little 10-year-old son. He just got kicked out of school. No longer in school. And the mother's crying to the Lubavitcher Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, my son doesn't listen. Please sit with him. He just got kicked out of school. Help him out a little bit. So the Lubavitcher Rebbe sits down with this 10-year-old boy. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says to him, do you listen to your mother? And the boy says back, no, I don't listen to my mother. He says, do you listen in school? And the boy says back to the Lubavitcher Rebbe, I don't listen in school. And I wouldn't believe this if the guy who this happened to, this little boy, told me it himself. The Lubavitcher Rebbe then concludes, he says, do you even try? Do you try to listen? Do you try in school? He said, I don't try at all. The Lubavitcher Rebbe gets up from behind his desk, and he goes over and he gives this kid the biggest hug you've ever seen. You're such a Baal Emes, you're so emesbic, he says. And you're so honest and so impressive, Lubavitcher Rebbe. He gives him a big hug. And this boy says that moment changed his life. He said, I saw that even though I wasn't doing the right thing, Lubavitcher Rebbe believed in me. He believed in me. He saw I could be great. They changed his life right there at 10 years old. I met him when he's 50, 55 years old. He's an honest, good, learning Baal Boss. In this moment, this does not mean that we are born with the best traits, we're perfect, we can sit and learn, we do everything. But we're born with enough to be great, and we learn it from this week's Parsha. Listen to this is my favorite midrash in the whole Torah. If I could pick favorites, until I find my next favorite. Listen to this. The Midrash writes in this week's parsha, Gracious Rabbi Sam Chilo, it said, Admoni, Esav was born red. We all know this. We learned this when we were young. He was born completely red. Says the Amar Rebbe, Ba'abo Bar Kahana, Kilu Shofech Damim, the redness represented the fact that he wanted to spill blood. He was a person who had a desire to spill blood. Says the Midrash, V'chkevon, Shira'a Shmuel as David. When Shmuel saw David, David was also born red. He also had this red hair and this red complexion. Shmuel says, V'nisyara, he was nervous, he was afraid. V'omar, and he says, Avzeh shovech damim ke'esav. David HaMelech is going to spill blood like Esav. That was his innate trait, that was his ability. And what was he right or was he wrong? He was 100% right. Shmuel was 100% right. But where was he mistaken? That just because this is your innate ability, just because this is your tendency, your traits, you can always channel it for good or for bad. If you believe that, you can be great. Esav said, I'm going to be a guy who spills blood, I'm going to become a murderer. David HaMelech had the same exact traits. And he says, that's it, I'm going to become the greatest warrior in Jewish history. He spilled a lot of blood. But for the L'shem Shemayim, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sake. That was his trait. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us all traits. If we don't believe we can do great with it, so you're right. Chas v'chalila, someone can end up like an Esav. And that's what Shmuel was nervous about. But the same person, the same traits, can say, I'm going to become a David HaMelech. Are we born perfect? Absolutely not. The game would be too easy. But what we're born with is a certain trait that we have the ability to channel it to use a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And who's in charge of that more than anyone else? We learned in this week's parsha also. This is one of my favorite ideas. The Pasuk says in this week's parsha, Vayomer Esav Yaakov, Esav said to Yaakov, Hilitini Noah, pour for me, min ha'odam, from this red stuff, ha'odam hazeh ki ayif, I'm so exhausted, anochi al kein kara shemo Adam. Therefore, he was called Adam, Edom, because he had this red stuff. The Or Chaim HaKadosh points out, it's written in singular. Therefore, he called Adam. What is Edom? What does Edom mean? It means he was red. But the Or Chaim says, why is it written in singular? Didn't everyone then call him Edom? And the Or Chaim says, no, only Esav called himself Edom. It's singular. Only himself called him Edom. Esav did a lot of bad things up until this point. But at this moment, where he sells the Bechor for a little bit of lentil soup, at that point he said, you know what, that's it, all I am is Edom. I can't be great. He called himself, Kara Shemo Edom. I am now an Edom. The person who held back Esav was none other than Esav himself. He had the ability to have six of the Shvatim, to marry Leah. He could have been split half and half. A little Yisachar Zvulun going on Yaakov and Esav. But all he said is, I'm just red. I'm just going to spill blood. That's all I am. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave him the ability, but he self-proclaimed, I am not good enough. In our own Ruchnius, I believe so much of what holds us back is that we're just average. I'm not going to be Reb Chaim Kanievsky, Reb Nevinzal. I'm going to be a Baal HaBos. Okay, I'll be Yotze. I'll learn Daf Yomi, which is awesome. I admire anyone who does. But we're limiting ourselves. You would never do that when it comes to making money. I can make $1 million. I'll settle for $250. That's fine. You would never do it. You wouldn't limit yourself. You believe in yourself to your last day. Why is it going to be different when it comes to Ruchnius? You must believe that it's great. I was thinking about this last night. The shadow is a great example for this. The shadow. I was walking home from shul at night, and I noticed my shadow. I never think of these things. Your shadow never leaves your side. It's always there. You can't run from it. You can't do anything. And it's a muscle for yourself. You can't run. You can't do anything for yourself. Your shadow, yourself, can motivate you to understand you can be great. On the contrary, it can bring you down. But it's going to do one or the other. It's always there. But you can't run away from this concept. It's a little bit of a catch-22, though. Because when you feel success, feel successful, you will be more successful. When you feel like you're having a harder time, so you don't believe in yourself. We know the Midrash writes, in the story of the Jewish people in Egypt, that the men would do the women's work, and the women would do the men's work. And that was the hard work that they were given. The men would do the women's, and the women would do the men. So the women doing the men's work, I understand. That's tough. That's grueling. The men doing the women's physical work, shouldn't that be easier? Why was this so hard? Why was this such a challenge for the men to do the women's work? Wouldn't you think that the women's work is easier, physically easier? And so says the Chovas HaTzamidim, a sefer I suggest to everyone to read in English. Everyone? He says as follows. He says the idea is that they didn't feel successful when they did it. It was physically easier for them. But since they didn't feel successful, they didn't feel like they were great people. When you don't have this sense of feeling great, that's hard. That's a burden on you. So often when it comes to our learning, okay, I did it, but I also missed a little bit. I can't read everything inside. I'm struggling. It's hard to get. It's true. All these things are hard. It's true. We have the ability to be great, but if we don't believe in ourselves first, we're going to self-proclaim to be a failure. That's what Esav did. Esav made him Edom. He made himself red. He was red before that, but once he said, I am red, that's it. He had no hope anymore. The Yetzer Hara tries to get us. This is the Yetzer Hara. Yetzer Hara is awesome at his job. He's fantastic. We say this single day in Davin, Bahasar Satan Mefaneinu Umi'acharinu. We try to remove the Satan from before us and behind us. Before us, I get it. Before we do something, we try to remove the Yetzer Hara. The Yetzer Hara says, don't wake up. So I wake up, I beat the Yetzer Hara. But what does it mean that it tries to get us behind us? I already beat you. What does it mean? We try to remove the Yetzer from behind me. So says Rav Moshe Dan Kesselbaum in Sefer Olam Midos, he says, the Yetzer Hara, he's so good at his job. Even once you beat him, he tries to convince you it wasn't so good. You didn't really do anything great. That's what it means in the tefillah. Even afterwards, he said, anyone could have done that. You came a little bit late. It wasn't so great. That's what the Yetzer Hara tries to do. Because once you understand you can be great, there's no stopping you. And the Yetzer Hara knows that. So even after you're successful, he's coming after you. That's what it means every day when we daven, remove the Yitzhar before me and after me. This does not mean you will always be perfect. You will make mistakes. There's a really powerful Gemara in Kedushin and Daf Mem that says that if someone, God forbid, is going to far gone conclusion, he's going to sin, to do an Avera, what should he do? I don't know if this is a Halacha L'maisa, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. The Gemara says that you should go to a far-off land, dress in all black, cover yourself, and do the sin. Why are you going to a far-off land? So no one recognizes you're not a Chilal Hashem. It's not going to ruin your reputation. So Rabbi Daniel Kalish, one of my Rebbeim, he asks the following question. He says, I get it. You're going to a far-off land. Why do you have to dress in black and cover yourself? The whole point is no one knows you there. So go to a far-off land, do your sin, come back, and you're a new man. Why are you wearing black and covering yourself? So he explains, you're going to the far-off land so no one knows you, no Chel Hashem, doesn't ruin your reputation. You're wearing black and covering yourself so you don't believe that you're a Rasha, for yourself. That's what he explains, the Gemara means. It's a beautiful idea. Because the second that you think that you can't be great, you lost it a little bit. You lost it. You can't be as successful as what you wanted. I want to share with you an unbelievable story. An unbelievable story. You being great starts with believing in yourself, and it can also be you believe in someone else or someone else believes in you. There's a story, a true story. There was a guy, his name is Rabbi Shapiro from Florida. Not a guy, a rabbi from Florida. He was one time walking around Tel Aviv. He was walking around, and in Tel Aviv, I know none of you guys know this, so I'll paint a picture for you. There's sometimes little kiosks on the corner. They're selling a few sodas, some snacks. Maybe if you do know it, maybe you don't remember. So there's guys who's selling snacks on the corner. And Rabbi Shapiro's walking through the street, and one guy catches his eye. And he goes over to me, asks him his name. He said, why are you asking me my name? And he says to him, because I see between sales, you're just sitting and learning the whole time. You caught my eye. So they start up a little conversation. He says, my name's Yankee. And he said, they're talking, and he says, I'm from Minsk. It's a place, I don't really know exactly where it is, Europe somewhere. Minsk, and he says, and Rabbi Shapiro says back to him, I'm from Florida. And this guy, Yankee, it's all in Hebrew. He looks at him and says, you're from America? America? He said, yeah, I'm from America. What's the big deal? So I don't want to get the name wrong. He asks him, do you know Aaron Seslovitcher? I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Do you know Aaron Seslovitcher? He says, so Rabbi Shapiro looks back at him and says, of course I know him. As if like there's two people in the whole America. You're from far, oh, you must know this guy from America. Do you know Aaron Sesslovitcher? He says, of course I know him. And he says, well, how do you know him? He says, let me tell you a story. I used to be a shochet in Minsk, the guy who shechs animals. And he says, I would save a few shekels, dollars, I don't know exactly what they use there, I just save a few dollars, eat as much as good every month. And I decided when I had enough money, I wanted to donate it to the community. So what did I do? I found the two top young children. And I saved money and I bought a ticket to Slabodka. And I wanted to send them out to go learn in the great yeshiva of Slabodka. And I said to them before they left, I just want to know, let you know, this is my life savings. I'm giving it to you because I believe in you. And one of those two people, I don't remember the first guy's name, but the second name, his name was Aaron Sesslovitcher. I heard he made it to America. I don't know what happened to him. So Shapiro is like, his mouth is open to the floor. And he says back, I know Aaron Sesslovitcher. But you know what he goes by now? Aaron Kotler. The great Rosh Hashiva in Lakewood, the father probably of Jewry in America. And he gave a few shekels. He had no idea what happened to him. He had no idea what it was. He saved up his life savings. He said, I believe in you. He sent it to yeshiva and he started Jewry in America. And Rabbi Shapiro, Rabbi Amor D'Asra in Florida, is so excited. He comes back. He's telling everybody the story. A few weeks later, one of the other Gedolim in America, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Emissary Yaakov, he comes to his shul. He's a guest speaker. And he says, you gotta hear this story. And he's telling him, I was in Tel Aviv, and all he's saying, he tells him the whole story, he's saying, this guy sent Rav Aaron Kotler to yeshiva. And Rav Yaakov Kanesi's blown away, smiling. And he says, you wanna know why I'm so happy? Because I was that other boy. I was the second boy he sent, Rav Yaakov Kanesi. This guy didn't even remember his name. But he said, here, I'm going to put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to show you that I believe in two little boys. Two little boys. And they became the Gedolim in America. We all learn from them, whether we know it or not. Because someone believed that it could be great. I know I'm a little bit past the time, but for me personally, I hope you can indulge me for one more minute. Happens to be my grandmother's yahrzeit today. Lilo Nishmat Sima Yetta Bas Aaron. And so I'll tell you just a one-second story about her, that fits in beautifully. You don't have to be Rav Aaron Kotler or Yaakov Kanesi to do it. My dad grew up in a place called Jackson Heights. And it's a neighborhood you never want to end up in, trust me. And it wasn't a fun place. And after elementary school, everyone from his community was going to public school. Everyone was going to public school. And my grandparents, Holocaust survivor, they very simple people. Both religiously, definitely very, very simple, and financially. And my grandmother said she's going to do everything financially, and even though it wasn't really, she really was religiously, to send my father and his sister to a religious school. She wanted to give them the opportunity. And to make a long story short, Baruch Hashem, she has a grandson who teaches Torah in Yerushalayim, great grandkids in Yerushalayim. But if you told her this years and years ago, 40 years ago, whatever it was, she would have called you a liar. She would have never believed in it. But she gave a little bit of faith to my father, gave it to us, and so on and so forth. And the idea is we don't have to be these great people, we don't have to be Rav Aaron Kotler and Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, but a little bit of faith in ourselves to be successful this year, then you can be consistent. Then you can work hard. But you need to believe that you're going to be great. Success does not mean you're really rich. It means that you're really great at what you do. You're a great father, you're a Baal Midos, you're a Baal Chesed. And in this place right now we're in, we have the opportunity to go through the next few weeks until Hanukkah, and obviously past that, but we see a small window. We should really work hard and believe we can be great. I should go up, everybody.